Plus, the Iron State's already very worried about the China-US rivalry playing out in its backyard. And the new AUKUS agreement reinforces the idea that the opinions of the ASEAN member states matter little when it comes to the superpowers and how they operate in the region. The region has always insisted on the idea of ASEAN centrality in their relations with the world, that ASEAN members must decide what is best for Southeast Asia. But as AUKUS shows, nuclear nations play a different game. Indonesia is especially unhappy with Australia, given the new agreement will affect it directly, given their common maritime border. Scott Morrison has already been forced to cancel his upcoming trip to Jakarta after Prime Minister Joko Widodo said he would be unavailable to meet him, a decision that was made before the AUKUS announcement. This will add another layer to the strained relationship. While in public, most Southeast Asian governments have expressed uneasiness with AUKUS agreement. There is a school of thought that says some voices in the region will probably accept the agreement in the long term. Japan and South Korea are clearly in this camp, and their muted reaction to AUKUS suggests they're in favor of a rebalancing in the region. Taiwan and Vietnam are probably on this side as well. The only downside is that Australia may use its nuclear-powered submarines to bully ASEAN countries. If Canberra uses its nuclear submarines as a bargaining chip, it will simply turn public opinion in the region against Australia. If anything, the AUKUS move reinforced the widely held perception that Australia's mantra of being part of the region is in fact just empty talk. Australia has firmly signalled its intentions to put its Anglo allies in the United States and Britain first. AUKUS also reinforces the view that Australia cannot be accepted as a regional partner or a regional player. This, of course, is nothing new. For years, the ASEAN bloc has seen Australia as deputy sheriff to the United States. So while AUKUS came as a surprise to many in the region, an alliance of this sort was probably bound to happen. It's just that nobody expected it to happen so soon.
This is IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
I'm a teacher.
I'm a researcher.
I'm a mother.
I'm a lawyer.
And I believe in acting kindly toward you, because you are...
A Muslim lady.
You are very special. There's no one just like you.
From Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran.
You are very special, and I'm so glad you're mine.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Dear listeners, thank you so very much for joining us on today's brand new episode of Muslim Lady here from IRRB English Radio. In the studio, as always, I have the pleasure and honor of having my lovely sister and friend and wonderful guest, Sister Razia Shamli. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah, my dear sister.
We've been discussing the importance of self-care for a Muslim lady, while taking the example of the most wonderful example in the history of examples, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and how His Eminence observed every aspect of self-awareness, self-consciousness, mindfulness, taking care of himself, and by doing so, taking care of those in his care, right? And as Muslim ladies, when we focus on the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we see how important it is, you know, to be aware of our state of being and to be careful of how we are, how we look, how we feel, how we're functioning. So, Sister, as you've been sharing with us so far, of I think we're up to tip number 5. Principles and
tips and techniques
in order to implement self-care into our lives as Muslim women, and whether it's time management, whether it's mindfulness and awareness, whether it's
family care,
daytime naps in the middle of the day, applying henna,
right,
for both men and
hair care.
Yes, exactly. Hair care and skincare routine so you can look gorgeous and fabulous. We dropped it at point number 5. You were telling me the 14 benefits of applying henna. The last one was the rage of your foes because you look fabulous.
You know why? Because when you're in the old days when their hair and beard grew gray and white, and like at war times when they appeared in the war front, you know, the enemy would see them as bunch of old folks, and then they would be like, huh, it's a piece of cake to
exactly to just end this creature,
exactly, but
to
then
slay them
when they applied henna on, and especially younger. The black one that the prophet said that God's, you know, this color is most favored in God's presence, they looked really young and fabulous. So
right.
It enraged the foe
and intimidating, basically.
Exactly.
Okay,
right. And it makes the gum strong. Isn't that interesting?
That is very interesting.
I said the use on for the nostrils, for bad odor, making it good odor, giving it a good odor, reduces Satan's whims. I don't know. I have no explanation whatsoever of how it reduces Satan's whims. It says brings light to the eyes.
Seriously, from this distance, I'm seeing you in a blur. I should apply henna. To where? My eyes? To around my eyes?
I don't know.
My
I
head,
think to your face.
Hair. Okay.
To your face, forehead, cheeks.
Interesting.
Chin.
Okay.
It's an adornment.
Definitely.
Right?
Obviously.
It gives a good scent to the mouth. I said that makes the angels happy. That's interesting. It contents the believers. First of all, when you have good self-care of yourself and you smell well, you appear in the society, you look fresh, amazing. So the believers would become happy.
Exactly.
Right? It's a pleasant smell because it gives your body a good smell. The two angels of Nakir and Munkar, they also feel ashamed to, you know, to question them so much.
Interesting.
And they see that, you know, actually, I think it means that someone who adheres so much to the sunnah of the prophet in the details of life to this extent, definitely in the bigger picture of their lives, they were good people. That's what I understood from it. But it doesn't finish here. I want to also talk about other hair care and skin care points that we can find in the life of the noble prophet.
Yeah, of course.
And that my reference was the book of Sunan al-Nabi, written by Allama Tabatabai, and they were talking about the third chapter where it talks about rules of beautification and cleanliness. In the old days, not so long ago, when I used to go to my grandma's house in their shower, they always had a bowl of sidr. Sidr is lotus jujube. I read it in the Sunan al-Nabi that the noble prophet also washed his hair and beer with sidr, which is a kind of plant that they make. It's very similar to henna, right? And I remember my grandma, she always kept this tradition of cleaning her hair and her body with the sidr, with this amazing herbal plant, right? So it was in the sunnah of the Prophet to hair care.
Right.
How much attention, you know, the Prophet could have simply washed his hair with...
Or he could just have shaved it.
Yeah, which some of the prophets did. But he took great time. He put, you know, in this the three portions that I said, one portion was for himself. Probably in that one portion of, you know, he paid attention to self-care issues, hair care, skin care, right? The other thing that I found very interesting in the sunnah of the noble prophet that can definitely come in handy for women, for us Muslim ladies, is that the prophet used to comb his hair, and he would comb it with water, and he would say that water is enough of a perfume for a believer.
So he'd comb his hair while it's a little damp still?
Lifestyle was different back then. But maybe he damped his hair every time he wanted to comb it. He put some water. You know, water actually hydrates your hair. It's a natural hydration, right? So he combed it with water. I do remember my grandma also doing the same. They had like, you know, they put their comb in water and then they brushed, they combed their hair. The other hair tip, hair care tip that we can learn from the Holy Prophet was that there is a very beautiful verse in the Noble Quran where it says, put on your adornments on every occasion of prayer. This is in Surah Al-A'raf, verse number 31, right? Now, the Prophet beautifully explains about this hadith and relates it to combing one's hair. He says, you know, the adornment, it's the combing of hair. Because combing hair brings sustenance, improves the hair. It actually improves your hair quality. Hair growth, fulfills the need. I didn't understand what kind of need he was talking about. Increases strength and sexual drive. And it stops phlegm.
Interesting.
So if you have like a weak body, like you feel like always...
languid and
wanting
fatigued.
To like lie down somewhere, your phlegm is probably high, and you will combing the hair actually
reduces it.
Right.
We're gonna go on a short break, and we're gonna be right back. So don't go anywhere. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Muslim Lady, and we are discussing the importance of self-care in Islam and its examples.
You know, Zainab, maybe hundreds of times people have gone through Sunan al-Nabi and they have read these hadith, but to categorize it under the category of self-care, because, you know, Zainab, sometimes we have certain categories in our minds, and we better understand issues when things fall into its own category in our mind.
Definitely.
So when I'm saying to you, when I say to someone, the Prophet combed his hair, but when I say it's a self-care, hair care, it helps your hair growth, because nowadays people are killing themselves to buy so many hair products. Before going to the shower, they, you know, massage their scalp
with oil,
with oils.
Essential oils, yeah.
Then different kinds of shampoos. That
and conditioners and hair masks. And they're all chemical
inside
anyway.
Hair mask, outside hair mask, and then serum for the hair. So many different hair products. So expensive.
Exactly. And they're so really bad for the environment.
Exactly. But then the prophet took all these procedures to take care of his hair. It just shows how much emphasis that he gave to self-care.
Now, how sustainable he lived his life.
Exactly. Using natural ingredients, natural herbs, oils. I'm going to talk about the different ones that the prophet used. So combing was one of the things that was in the tradition of the noble prophet. And, you know, when you cut your hair, when we cut our hair, we put it in the garbage dustbin, right? So part of the sunnah is that you do not just get rid of your hair, you bury it.
Oh, so it returns to the earth.
Right.
Beautiful.
See? Mother Nature.
Exactly.
Sustainability.
Or you can donate it, you guys. There's this new concept that they donate human hair to cancer patients. They make natural wigs out of it.
Wow.
And I actually looked up the fatwa, and it's halal, and we're allowed to do it, so maybe we should look into that.
But I think it has to be a certain length, right?
Yeah. Yep, yeah.
Wow, that's amazing. Subhanallah. So, three things will have to be buried. Your hair, your nails, and blood. Even menstrual blood. I read that it was in the sunnah of the noble prophet that they buried it. But
then the material they used was different.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Than these days. Also, clipping the nails was of the sunnah of the noble prophet. But for women, the noble prophet would say that keep your nails a little longer than men so that it increases to the beauty of your hands.
Definitely.
And
beautiful.
The prophet would tell married women to dye their hair so that they would look prettier for their husbands. And he would say to the single girls to dye their hands with henna so that their hands would look different from a man's hand.
Beautiful,
right? And don't look at your hands right now, where we do the dishes in the dishwasher. We don't wash clothes because we use the washing machine. They had like rough hands,
laborious lives.
Exactly. They were living in a city where there was the scorching heat. Everything was done manually, making bread.
Making flour, cooking, starting fire, washing.
So just imagine how rough the hands of a lady would become. And then you apply henna, it helps your skin to get smooth, and also it distinguishes a woman from a man.
And I think it acts as a sign, too. I mean, you look at the woman's hand and you know that she's not married.
Exactly. That's a good point, too.
Thank you so very much, Sister Razia, for all these interesting and practical tips regarding Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's beauty routine. And inshallah ta'ala, as Muslim women, I hope that we are able to draw inspiration from these matters and implement them into our lives so we can be happier and more fabulous. Until another episode of the show, I leave you in the care and protection of the Almighty.
Who is the lover?
Allah.
Who is Ar-Rahman?
Allah.
Who is Al-Mannan?
La ilaha illallah. Muhammadur Rasulullah. Muhammad is the messenger. To Allah is our return.
The Quran, given by God to Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him and his family, more than 1400 years ago, as guidance for humanity.
La ilaha illallah.
Muhammadur Rasulullah.
Quran speaks about women.
The Quran teaches the equality of men and women in the eyes of Allah.
Chapter 33, verse 35.
All praise is due to the one and only. He is the master of all creation.
Modesty and chastity are encouraged by the Quran, both for women and for men.
Chapter 24, verses 30 and 31.
He is the sustainer and the maintainer of the whole universe.
God created us from one male and one female and made us into nations and tribes so that we make to know one another, not to despise each other.
Chapter 49, verse 13.
La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah. Muhammad is the messenger, to Allah is our return.
The Quran has indicated worthy women in history just as it has mentioned such men. and has commended them greatly.
Chapter 3, verse 37.
Food for thought.
Hello everyone, and let us now ponder a wise saying from the Holy Prophet's seventh infallible successor, Imam Musa Kazem, peace be upon him, on the wonders of faith in God Almighty. Anyone who acknowledges God should not complain when his earnings are delayed, and should not accuse God of what he has decreed.
We are with you. What about you? IRIB English Radio. Log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
The light.
Iran's capital Tehran has hosted an art show themed with Aspiration for Peace. Organized by the Economic Cooperation Organization, the event seeks to shed light on the beauty of a global peace through the language of art. Yusuf Jalali reports.
Each one of these delicate works of art are created by an artist from a different country, each trying a unique way to highlight the need for lasting peace in the world. Dubbed Aspiration for Peace, the art gallery is organized by Echo Cultural Institute with the aim of promoting global peace through the language of art.
By holding this event, we want to send a message of peace to all countries. We invited diplomats from all embassies here to gather and unite and celebrate a peaceful gathering. Also, the artworks showcased here are created by artists from various countries, and this represents how beautiful it is for nations to live peacefully.
Art helps connect different civilizations and nations. It helps us bridge the cultural gaps and find commonalities. This will establish mutual understanding and harmony among nations, and therefore conflicts can be avoided.
In some of the artworks, images immediately communicate with the audience, even if faces are veiled. These pictures try to narrate the story of Afghan women and an uncertain future that they're facing amid the Taliban's takeover of power in Afghanistan.
The events that are taking place in my country, Afghanistan, are so painful. It might take hours to tell you how hard it is for an Afghan girl to live in insecurity and uncertainty. But through the language of art, you can understand all these words without the need for translation.
The art show was held on the occasion of the International Day of Peace, observed every year on September 21st. The occasion was introduced by the UN General Assembly as a chance to strengthen the ideals of peace through observing 24 hours of nonviolence and ceasefire.
A picture is worth a thousand words, and indeed, no words can be as strong as the strokes of an artist in speaking the beauty of peace. And this is how the universal language of art transcends the political and cultural boundaries and touches the hearts of viewers, no matter what language they speak. Yusuf Jalali, Tehran.
French slackliner has wowed watching crowds in Paris by crossing from the Eiffel Tower to the other side of the River Seine. Nathan Poulain walked across a rope suspended 17 meters above the ground. He finished the 600-meter course in half an hour. On one point, he sat and lay on the rope before arriving at his destination, the Chaillot Theater. The 27-year-old daredevil practiced 4 years to perform this show. Poulain said that he was staying focused during the walk, and that was very challenging.
When I was young, I had fear of heights, and I learned to contain it. During the performance, I really didn't feel it. I really didn't have that problem. I felt some stress over starting it, but no vertigo, no.
Poulain said that it was an uneasy experience, but he was happy to share it with the public. The athlete started slacklining 10 years ago. In 2019, he performed a 510-meter-long walk between two skyscrapers in Paris.
SpaceX's first all-private crew have successfully concluded the first orbital mission in history with no professional astronauts on board. The four tourists on board the SpaceX Dragon capsule landed in the Atlantic Ocean off the coast of Florida after spending 3 days in space. The capsule was then transported by helicopter to the Kennedy Space Center, where on Wednesday they took off aboard. During the flight, the crew members' vital signs were monitored to study the effects of the environment of space on complete novices. The Inspiration4 mission was an effort aimed at encouraging the democratization of space. It sought to prove that the cosmos are accessible to crew that have not been handpicked nor been in training for years. Iceland is not unfamiliar with volcanoes, but one that has gone on for more than 6 months is surprising even for the volcanic Scandinavian nation. Hot lava has been spewing out of craters near Iceland's capital Reykjavik since March 19th. Scientists say there is no sign that the eruptions will end anytime soon. Almost 143 million cubic meters of lava has been discharged so far, creating spectacular scenes. More than 300,000 people have visited the site of the eruptions. The field has been named the Beautiful Valley of Lava.
Visitors and keepers of a zoo in the Peruvian capital Lima are thrilled over the birth of 8 baby penguins from the vulnerable Humboldt species. Zookeepers say the chicks were hatched in July and they're expecting 6 more additions later in October. Currently, the newborns spend their days resting in their nests and being fed by their parents. The Huachipa Zoo currently has 42 Humboldt penguins and is working on recovering the species population.
We have 8 2-month-old chicks and 6 eggs.
In 42 days, those eggs will hatch and the chicks will come out. The important thing about humpback penguins is that we are recovering their population because they are in a vulnerable state. We are increasing their populations with the breeding we are doing in the zoo.
Researchers say a maximum of less than 10,000 humpback penguins are left in the wild, with their population size undergoing extreme fluctuations. The species face emerging threats from agricultural activities to their own vulnerability to predators. The humpback penguins are only found along the Pacific coast of Chile and Peru and are enlisted as threatened species by the International Union for Conservation of Nature.
A passionate Indian teacher has turned a road into a classroom and houses walls into blackboards to make up for the prolonged school shutdown caused by COVID-19. Deep Narayan Nayak is working with nearly 60 students in a small tribal village in the eastern state of West Bengal. He started to teach students, most of whom are first-generation learners, last year, when all local schools closed under lockdown restrictions. Nayak says that he was worried about his students' education since many of them did not have access to smartphones or internet connection. But thanks to his initiative, his students can learn everything from popular nursery rhymes to the importance of masks.
We are teaching children everything, how to maintain social distancing, how to wear a mask, what is the importance of masks and hand washing. The children came forward and participated in this initiative, and they are also educating others.
The parents and villagers are grateful to Nayak, saying that they are happy their children are no longer wasting their time loitering around in the village. Nayak is now popularly known as the teacher of the street among the villagers. Water scarcity is a significant and accelerating problem for people worldwide. A UK-based charity, WaterAid, has installed life-size ice sculptures in London to show the fragility of water and the threat posed by climate change.
Climate change is water change, so it means that droughts will get longer, which means that previous reliable sources of water just won't be there. It means that flooding, sometimes in the same country, becomes very severe, polluting water sources and destroying infrastructure. But it also means unpredictability. Water sources that people have relied on for generations, for farming as well as for their health and hygiene, are just no longer there.
Farr, a policy analyst for WaterAid, said people with no access to clean water are bearing the brunt of climate change. The sculptures opposite Tower Bridge are part of the charity's fight, which calls on the British government to increase funding for climate adaptation. The sculptures show how clean water is essential for human survival, with some being depicted carrying buckets and pots in search of water. The environmental group wanted to highlight the threat climate change poses to our planet.
Egyptian archaeologists have completed the renovation of a tomb of an ancient king, providing a rare glimpse into the world's oldest known pyramid. The 4,700-year-old Step Pyramid was built during the reign of King Djoser. The southern tomb is the second for the king, and it is smaller compared to royal tombs. Some researchers suggest it was built for the preservation of Djoser's internal organs, while others say it was built symbolically. It had been undergoing renovation for 15 years before being reopened to the public.
120 tons of blocks were raised by Egyptian hands, astonishingly and with the determination to achieve one goal. That is the reconstruction of the tomb, just as it was 4,700 years ago.
The complex is historically significant, as it is the earliest known example of the Egyptian custom of pharaohs being buried in pyramid-shaped tombs. According to experts, ancient Egyptians believed that this step design served as a gigantic stairway of the soul of a deceased pharaoh that could ascend to the heavens. Now, we've all grown up playing with a pinball machine at least once in our lifetime. Now, a free runner has designed a giant scaled-up pinball machine, turning it into his personal playground. Latvian free runner Paša Petkuns came up with the idea of playing on real-life pinball machines during a road trip. The set, made in London, is not for the faint-hearted, as it is slanted at a 45-degree angle. Paša thought his breakdancing experience might help, but in the end, he had to invent a whole new style of movement. The producer of the film, showing the performance on the machine, described the set as very scary.
It's 17 meters high, it's 16 meters wide, and 20 meters long. It's an angle of 45 degree, and I don't know if you understand how much 45 degree is. It's like, it's a double black diamond slope. It's something you don't go down, you can't, because it's more like falling than anything else.
It does sound scary. Now, the impressive set, designed to look like a retro pinball machine you might find in arcades, took 7 weeks to construct. Global landmarks like the Eiffel Tower and the Statue of Liberty are featured in it. Petkuns works as a Hollywood stunt double.
The Light is a bulletin in which we bring you a lot of interesting news in different fields, like animals' life, cultural events, funny trending news, and more from every corner of the world.
Plastic pollution has become one of the most pressing environmental issues, as disposable products overwhelm the world's ability to deal with them. But a young Spanish designer is dedicating his time to the cause of recycling plastic waste. 28-year-old Humberto Les quit his job last year to focus full-time on his environmental efforts. He collects trash from the coast of his home island of Gran Canaria. Humberto usually picks up an average of 5 kilos from the shore at a time. After he is done compiling, he processes the material and turns it into pieces of furniture. Humberto's aim is to make the task of recycling plastic economically justifiable, that is.
I decided to leave my job, stability, to come back here to develop a project to clean the coastline by designing furniture, because I realized that the coast could not be cleaned in an altruistic manner. So I found a way to give economic value to the waste found in the coast.
Humberto is making products ranging from clothes hangers to stools, but he also wants to create larger products with a longer lifespan in the future. According to the UN Environment Programme, only 9% of all plastic waste produced throughout history has ever been reprocessed. Around 80% of it remains accumulated in dumps, landfills, or nature.
A floating concert venue has entertained music lovers in London. Renowned pianist Masayuki Tayama and his partner started the project to play on a canal boat traversing the city's waterways 2 months ago. Since then, they have performed 9 concerts, and their upcoming performances are already sold out in months ahead. The couple came up with the idea after living on a narrow boat with a digital piano.
This is the piano boat, which is the only canal boat of its kind. It was built to our specifications as a floating concert venue. So we have a brand new Steinway grand piano, and here we give musical experiences for people on the canals.
The artists believe the experience is very different from playing in regular concert halls. They say recitals on the boat create a unique interaction with the audience and it feels friendlier. small fairy pigeon Vader has interrupted a cricket match in Ireland. A playful puppy ran into the field of a semi-final match and caught the ball. The scene caused laughter amongst those present. After a few minutes of chasing the dog, players managed to get the ball back. The funny video has gone viral on the internet.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, in the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. Dear friends, dear brothers and sisters, Salamu Alaikum. So welcome to this episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio. We're going to speak about telling lies.
There's no more hunger, no need for shelter. Isn't there enough to share? Or is it that we just don't care? We're here for a day or two. Let me show my way. Salamu alaykum, salamu alaykum, salamu alaykum, salamu alaykum.
But first, what date is today? Today, Wednesday, is the 15th of Safar, 1443 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 31st of Shahrivar, 1400 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 22nd of September, 2021 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. Let's bless this moment of today's special by recitation of chapter Hash, verse 8.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. للفقراء المهاجرين الذين أخرجوا من ديارهم وأموالهم يبتغون فضلا من الله ورضوانا وينصرون الله ورسوله أولئك هم الصادقون.
For the poor emigrants who were expelled from their homes and their properties, seeking bounty from Allah and His approval, and supporting Allah and His Messenger, there is also a share. Those are the truthful.
لا إله إلا الله لا إله
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
The believers in the early period of Islamic faith were tried by leading hard lives and leaving their possessions, children, peoples, and lands in the cause of Islam. They even sacrificed their lives. It is remarkable that such sacrifices were made by people who had been accustomed to idolatry all their lives. Thus, they abandoned the religious of their ancestors and converted to monotheism. Thus, those who are truthful in their belief are supposed to support Allah's religion and His Messenger, despite living in poverty and homelessness.
Special topics for a special program. You can listen today, now and here, IRIB English Radio.
May this moment last forever in your hearts, a day you'll always.
today's special.
This feeling of love, just let it grow forever through your life. Bring beautiful years of joy between you till the end of time.
This part, telling lies. We're speaking about telling lies. A factor that causes divisions in a society is the indecent habit of telling lies, which is prohibited by the Holy Quran, the Sunnah. Consensus and reason, telling lies is a major sin which disgraces and discredits human beings. It is a source of scandal, shame, and misfortune. A liar is miserable, impious, and false, and faithless. In this connection, God Almighty says, only they forged a lie who do not believe in Allah's communication. God also says, woe to every sinful liars. A liar has been described as cursed, a dweller of hell, oppressor, misled, and ruined by the Quranic verses. When telling lies is so horrible, it requires the observing of taqwa. Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In this episode, we are going to be concerned with the abominable consequences of telling lies in Islam. Now we find that telling lies is the fountainhead of hypocrisy. Hypocrisy means that someone says something but believes in another way. Or, for example, the words and deeds of the person never match or seldom match. Telling lies leads to hypocrisy, and hypocrisy is a common denominator of all people who lead themselves to the hellfire in the world hereafter. According to the Holy Quran, in the Surah At-Tawbah, verse 77, it's indicated in this way. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. فَأَعْقَبَهُمْ نِفَاقًا فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ إِلَى يَوْمِ يَلْقَوْنَهُ بِمَا أَخْلَفُ اللَّهَ مَا وَعَدُوهُ وَمَا كَانُوا يَكْذِبُونَ. Means that the jobs of those people who've been led to the hellfire is because of the hypocrisy that has been in the hearts and in the minds up to the day of the resurrection. This is because they have breached their own covenants with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and because they had the abominable characteristic of telling lies.
IRIB English Radio. Recitation as well as translation of Quran.
وَلَقَدْ آتَيْنَا مُوسَى الْكِتَابَ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَهْتَدُونَ.
And we certainly gave Moses the scripture that perhaps they would be guided.
Short commentary of the Quran. Islamic issues.
Institution of the family in Islam is the most beloved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
The life of the infallible. All in all, in today's special, IRIB English Radio.
Today's tip, to break a lying habit, practice acceptance. Everyone lies for unique reasons. Some people might find the truth more distressing than the consequences of lying. In other words, we lie when telling the truth surpasses our comfort zone. Discomfort with the truth can lead to lies that attempt to control or change a situation. If you feel unhappy or distressed by something but believe you can change it, you might attempt to deceive yourself and others instead of accepting how you truly feel. Getting more comfortable with the truth often involves accepting a challenging or painful reality, perhaps even admitting you made a mistake. Learning to accept the truth can be an ongoing process, but it often results in some valuable lessons. Is lying ever justified? While making peace between two quarreling parties so that the ordeal would not ignite into something worse. The mediator in such a case may falsely tell one party that the other is speaking highly of them, to make the unbelievers realize the truth. When Prophet Abraham broke all the idols except the largest of them, the unbelievers entered the temple and saw mismatched idols. Prophet Abraham had placed the axe in the hand of the chief idol. The disbelievers asked, "Who broke our gods?" He said, "Ask the chief idol. He has the axe." They replied, "Do not know that he can't speak or act?" Prophet Abraham replied, "This is what I have been telling you. So worship Allah rather than these stones that cannot harm or profit you."
Hadith by Al-Imam Al-Hassan Al-Askari alayhi afdhal as-salatu was-salam, sallallahu alayhi Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. He says, حطت الخبائث في بيت وجعل مفتاحه الكذب. All of the sins, all of the evils have been put in a house and locked into that house. The key to that house is what? Lying is the key. If you can lie, if you lie, this opens the door to all sorts of sins. If you don't lie, you can't reach any of the sins. You might ask, how is that possible? I can commit all sorts of other sins, but I don't lie. What's the relationship between lying and other sins? The relationship is that if you lie, if you have the ability to lie, you can cover up. You can commit all sorts of sins and then cover up. You can go and drink. Then people will ask you, where were you? You say, I was at the masjid. Where you go when you go clubbing, for example, you're asked, where were you? I was at a friend's house. And so on and so forth. You, with lying, if you lie and you're a liar, you can get away with all sins. If you don't lie, you can't get away with any sin. If you make it a principle for you not to lie, you can't drink, you can't gossip, you can't do anything, because you can't cover for yourself. That's why some youth, they think that they can get away with a lot of sins. They go out at night with their friends, Allahu A'lam where they go. They go and they commit all sorts of whatever. And what do they tell the poor parents at home? I'm studying at my friend's house. And when he comes back at home at 2 in the morning, this poor mom is sitting there. She's thinking that her son was studying till 2 in the morning. So da'alayya, he was with his friends, not knowing where he actually was. Why? Because he gets away with it because of a small lie. And parents are usually naive when it comes to their children. People are not naive, but when it comes to their children, they become very naive. They accept anything that their parents tell them. And some parents and some children, they take advantage of that. حطت الخبائث في بيت وجعل مفتاحه الكذب.
I think that's a good topic for discussion, so we continue on the next episode of today's special, inshallah. Till then, fi amanallah. لنا حسن اللطف الله لنا
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program. Our website is www.parstoday.com/en. This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.